Morning. Today's daf in Kedushin is daf of Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lona Zech and Ishmael Leiba Gabriella Bas Shmuel. We're in Hamad Beis. We're at the two dots in the middle of the Yamatan Rabbanon. Ketzav Bekesef, after having explained all the sources in the Torah for the Gimel Kinyanim for Kedusha Isha, the Gemara now goes on to discuss some details regarding the Kedusha Kesef. So we are right in the middle of the Amud on Hamad Beis, and the Bryce over here illustrates. Ketzav Bekesef. So how exactly is it done by Kesef? How is a man Mekadosh a woman with Kesef? So Nasal Kesef or Shava Kesef. So he gives her Kesef for something equivalent to a Kesef, according to Beis Hillel, a Shava Pruta. The Amrla, and he has to say the following. Harei Mekadosh Asli, Harei Meres Asli, Harei At Le'in Tu. You have to say any one of the following. You are Mekudash to me, or you are Me'uresis to me, or you are my wife. Harei Zu Mekudashas. In all these cases, the Kedushin is a valid Kedushin. Because not only is she getting the money, but she's understanding what the purpose of the money is for. So there has to be an amira, there has to be some sort of declaration at the time when you give her the money, and it seems like the purpose of the declaration is so that she just simply understand what exactly is going on. However, if she were to give the money and she would make the following declaration, Hareini Mikudeshes Lecha. I'm going to be Mikudesh to you. Hareini Mureses Lecha. Hareini Lecha Leintu. Eino Mikudeshes. So that's not going to be a good Kiddushin. So the way that Kiddushin works is that there has to be a kinyan on the part of the woman to the man. And not from the man to the woman. So now, the point that is open and up for discussion, which the Gemara is about to entertain, is the following. We certainly understand that the man has to give money to the woman so that the woman can become a niknet to the man. That part's clear. In terms of the amira, does it have to be that the amira is said from the husband to from the man to the woman? Or can it be that the amira is said from the woman to the man? Meaning one can make the argument that the amira, it's not so important who says it, just has to be a point of clarification of why the money is being transferred from the man to the woman. So that part's not clear, and the Gemara discusses exactly this point. Maskel v'rapapa tamid nasan huva amar hu. Hanasan huva amra hi ena mekudeshes. Well, if he gave the money and she made the declaration, it sounds like Kedusha is not good, at least from the first half of the Braisa. But the Gemara says, but then read on. Ema Seifa. Avahishnas na lov amrahi. But if she gives the money and she makes the declaration, lo have a Kedusha. Well, the Kedusha is no good. Well, what's wrong over there? Taima danasni hi vamrahi. Hanasan hu vamrahi. So once again, it sounds like from the second half of the Braisa, that if you just make one small change, which means that instead of he makes a declaration, she makes a declaration, although he's giving the money to her, have a Kedushin, it sounds like the Kedushin would be good. So what we basically have now is competing diukim in the Braisa. In the first half of the Braisa, it sounds like he has to be the one giving the money, and he has to be the one making the declaration. Any change from that is not going to be good. Second half of the Braisa says would seem to indicate otherwise. That as long as he gives the money, even if she makes a declaration, that would seem to be okay. So the Gemara is so where do we stand? Reisha Dafka Sefakadei Nasba. So the Gemara says, well, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to read the first part of the Braisa specifically. And as far as the second part of the Braisa, that's just simply said for stylistic reasons, for symmetry reasons, but don't take the second half of the Braisa super literally.
It is the difference between what she says. If she says, you are Mekadosh to me now, or said, Mekadosh to you.
Could be. Okay. Could be. Now the Gemara says, Vatini Sefa Milsa Desasra La Laresha. The Gemara says, I don't like it. Meaning, I understand symmetry and I understand the style, but to have the second half of the Braisa say something which runs contrary to the first half of the Braisa, because once again, in the first half of the Braisa, if you read a Dafka, the man has to do A, give the money, and B, he has to want to be making the declaration. So once that's read specifically, so then the second part of the Braisa, which seems to contradict that, second part of the Braisa seems to indicate, not say, but indicate that as long as he gave the money, she can make the declaration. Well, that's going against the first half of the Braisa. So the Gemara says it's strange. Elihachi kamar nasanu va'amrahu pshita to have a kedushin. Okay, so this is what the Braisa's real intent is. If he gave the money and he made the declaration, that's obvious. That's how it works. Nasan huva amrihi. Now, if he gave the money and she made the declaration, nasa kimi shenasna hiva amrihi. So it's tantamount to her giving the money, meaning it's simply no good, even though he's the one that gave the money. But if he gave the money and she made the declaration, it's ki'ilu she gave the money. V'lo havi kiddushin, and therefore would not be kiddushin at all. Okay, so that's one way to read the Braisa. So now, according to this way we're reading the Braisa, if he gives the money and she makes the declaration, it's nothing. It's zero. It's not kiddushin. The Gemara is now going to give a different way of understanding the Braisa. If he gave the money and he made the declaration, that's kiddushin. Nasna hi v'amrahi ain't a mekudash. And if she gave the money and she made the declaration, it's not going to be kiddushin at all. Nasan huva amrahi. Now, what if he gave the money and she made the declaration? Sveika hi. So, what's the conclusion? The conclusion is we don't know. Meaning, that's exactly the point of the two halves of the braisa. The two halves of the braisa reflecting the fact that it's unclear. I can argue in one of two ways. I could say, on one hand, he gave the money. That's good enough. She made the declaration. Good. The purpose of declaration is only to just simply communicate, this is for marriage. Or no, maybe that's not true. Maybe he has to give the money and he, and only he specifically has to make the declaration. That's exactly why the Bryce is giving conflicting messages on this issue, because the Bryce doesn't know. V'chashina midrabanan. And therefore the Gemara says, and the conclusion is that we don't know if they're married. They may or may not be married. And as Rashi points out over here, what does that mean? They may or may not be married. I mean, we know what that means. It means that it's a suffix. But Rashi says practically, let's say, for example, after she has undergone this awkward, unclear marriage with this guy, let's say she accepts Kedusha from another guy. Rashi says now there's a possibility that she's married to that second guy. She's going to need to get from both of them. So Rashi just illustrates the simple ramification of what would be if it were in fact a suffix. Continuing in the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, b'kiddushin nasa l'kesef v'shev v'kesef, amar la harei mekudeshes, harei et mureses, harei et liintu, harei ze mekudeshes, harei ni yishich, harei ni ba'alech, harei ni yurestech, ein kan beis mechush. Shmuel gives a number of illustrations where it would simply not be good, because he left out one important word in all of these phrases. What word did he leave out? The word li. He forgot to mention that he's the suitor. He gave her money, and he identified her as being a married woman. Just one small detail, and that was himself in the picture.
There's no yet in this. There's like no.
You hit it right in the head. So let me just go over every one of these phrases. So he gives her the money. He says, "Harei mekudeshes." Okay, that one we've seen already. Mu'reses, we've seen that one already as well. Into. Again, we've seen that. I'm your husband. I'm the husband. Okay, so in all these cases, the problem is he did not say the word li. And the Gemara says, and by the way, the same thing would be true when it comes to divorce as well. He gives it to her and he says to her, Hare mishuleches. Hare at migureshes. Hare at muteres l'chol adam. Hare zu migureshes. Eini ishech, eini ba'alech, eini arusech, ein kan beis mechush. So once again, in all these cases, the amira is simply nothing. Because in the amira, it doesn't indicate that he's sending her out. All he's saying is, we're separating. Right? Either you're moving further away from me, or I'm moving further away from you. But that's not good in the world of Gerushin. In the world of Gerushin, he has to send her out. So, Amalei Rav Papa L'Abaye. Okay, so these are all the halachas that were said in the name of Shmuel.
And
Thank you. Okay, correct. Okay, excellent correction. So the Gemara says now, let's go back to those first cases in the Shmuel statement. In the first cases, so he left out the word li. Okay, he left out the word li. Let's think about what's happening. He's handing her money. And he's saying to her, he didn't say the word I, right? You are a married woman. And he's giving her money. There's a lot of context going on over here. And as we discussed in the beginning of Nedarim, so we have what's called a Yad LeNeder. That when you don't make the full sentence, and you make a phrase, a fraction of a statement, as long as there's enough context where it's understood what's going on, so that's a Yad. That creates a Neder, and in this case, it should create Kedushin. And so what the Gemara describes this as is a Yad She'enu Mochiach. There's a little bit of ambiguity over here. Okay, but a little bit of ambiguity. I think everyone understood what just happened. And is it the fact that Shmuel is not comfortable with a little bit of ambiguity? Vatanan, the Gemara says, but I'll tell you this. I'm going to show you that Shmuel is okay with a little bit of ambiguity. Ha'omer Ehei, Ha'rez Enazir. A person says the word Ehei. Aleph, Hey, Aleph. He says that, and he becomes a Nazir. It's like he's clearing his throat and he becomes a Nazir. What does that mean? Or even if you didn't want to go with my absurd suggestion of the clearing of the throat. Hey, I'm going to be. Okay, you know what I'm going to be? I'm going to be fasting today. Unlikely that's what he meant as well. But how can Ehei turn into, and I'm going to be a Nazir? What does that mean? So Ehei B'tanis Kamer, V'amr Shmuel. So Shmuel explains that. What does that mean? V'hushe haya Nazir over lefanav, because there's a Nazir walking right in front of him. Okay, so now we're going to put a couple things together. He said the word Ehei. There's a Nazir walking in front of him. Oh, must be that what he's saying is, I want to be like that. And therefore, that's enough of a declaration so that now he becomes a Nazir. Now, there is a little bit of ambiguity over there. It's clear that Shmuel's comfortable with a little bit of ambiguity. It's a Yad She'enu Mochiach, but Shmuel's of the opinion, but it works. So, time of the Nazir of love and of halav hachilo hachilo. So the Gemara says, Hachba ma'iskinan de amar li. So the Gemara says, okay. So the Gemara is suggesting that what he says over here is he says the word li. Ihachi mai kamashmalan hani lishna basrai hani lishna basrai kamashmalan. The Gemara says that it's the Lishna Basra. It's the later cases that's coming to teach us, right? When the Shmuel ends off by saying Ein Kan Beis Mechush, both by Kiddushin and by Gerushin, so Shmuel's coming to teach us that in those cases as well, it's going to be nothing. Hacha ksiv ki yikach v'lo shiikach es atzmo. V'hacha ksiv v'shucha v'lo shiishlach es atzmo. So the Gemara says that in the case of Kiddushin, ki yikach, he's got to take her. V'lo shiikach es atzmo, not that he's got to take himself. And regarding Gerushin, it says v'shucha. He has to send her away. He's not sending himself away. So in other words, the Torah is very clear what the action point is regarding Kiddushin and by Gerushin. By Kiddushin, he has to take her. He's bringing her into his area, into his domain. And by Gerushin, he's sending her away. And any language that does not clearly indicate that that's the direction they're going, both in terms of Kiddushin, in terms of Gerushin, so simply is nothing. Okay. On top of Vavam and Aleph, we are now continuing in the Gemara Tanu Rabbanan. Harei at Ishti. Okay, next bit of Gemara, we're just going to go over languages, various languages that are either going to work or not going to work, or somewhere in the middle. So, Harei at Ishti, Harei Tarusasi, Harei Kanuyali Mekudesha. So, if he says, you're my wife, you're my Arusa, you're my Kanuya, so in all these cases, the Kedushin is valid. Very clear exactly what he's saying. Harei at Shali, Harei at Berushusi, Harei Zekukuli Mekudesha. So, you are mine, you are my possession, you are my Zekuka, you're connected to me, so in all these cases, Mekudesha. Velisninu Kulu Kechada. Kichada. So these two brises are all agreeing that these are good. Why is the brisa giving us two sets of three? Why not the brisa just simply give one set of six? So the Gemara says, Tana Tlas Shaminu Vigarsinu. Gemara's answer is very simple. That's not how the brisas were presented. The brisas were presented in strings of three. That's how you learned the brisa. That's how you gave over the brisa, right? The Tanaim, the Amorayim, were attempting, as to the best of their ability, to pass along the brisas exactly how it was recorded to them. What if you said miyuchedes li? And if you take a look at Rashi at every one of these scenarios, so Rashi says that you are referencing psukim in the Torah, right? How is miyuchedes li a reference to a pasuk in the Torah? Rashi says lashon vayu lebasar echad. Torah describing Adam and Chava becoming one. Vayu lebasar echad. So mahu miyuchedes li? I'm sorry. Miyuchedes li mahu, miyuedes li mahu. Yud, Rashi, asher lo ya'ada. Shulash and kedushin ba'ama yivriya. Right, when a man purchases an ama yivriya, we've discussed this like since the beginning of the Masechta. Man purchases an ama yivriya, so eventually the purpose of purchasing her is to either marry her or to give it to your son to marry. Either way, the Torah says, and if he doesn't marry her, the verb that the Torah uses is yud ayin dalet, yiud. So so you see that the word yiud is a reference to marriage. Ezrasi mahu. Ezrasi and negdasi mahu. And what about negdasi? And Rashi points out, eselo ezer kenegdo. Once again, it's a reference to the Torah. The Torah describes ezer kenegdo. So you see that both of those lashonos are used in the Torah. Atsurasi mahu. What if you say the word atsura, atsil asi mahu, or tzela, right? Rashi on both. I'm sorry. Let me do one more. Sigurasi mahu or my segura. Once again, all these languages are used in the Torah. Rashi over here does not go in the order of the Gemara, but Rashi says segurasi lashem vayiskur basor tachtav. Right, Kadosh Baruch Hu performed a little surgery, opened up Adam, took out a part, turned that into the Isha, and closed it up afterwards. So you see that the segurasi. Or atzurasi lashon atzer shetehena sefes imi. The word atzura is in reference to a woman. You are collected to me. So nesefesimi labayis. V'rabosei amru lashon ki isha atzura lanu. Okay, quotes a pasuk from Shmuel, but Rashi doesn't like it. Okay, back to the Gemara. Atzumatzi tzalasi mitzgorasi mahu tachti mahu. You are under me. Tefusasi mahu. My tefusa, right? That which I've taken. Lekuchasi mahu. And what about if he said lekuchasi, my taking? So the Gemara asks a number of questions. So some of them are very clear, and some of them are unknown. Pasha miyachad, the Gemara says, okay, but one of them I think we can resolve. To tell you, we have a brisa. Hom lekuchasi harezem mekudeshes. If you say the word lekuchasi, so that is going to be about kedusha. Mishum shenemar ki yikach ish isha. There, he is hearkening to a pasuk in the Torah, ki yikach. So lekuchasi would work. Ibailahu charufa simahu. What if he said the word charufa? Torah uses that word, right, in describing Isha Necherefes Leish, a woman who is married to a man. What exactly is the Torah talking about over there when it says Charufa? So that is not clear. It's in Parshas Kedoshim. The Torah describes a case of a quasi-adultery where the man is going to be sleeping with a woman who is Necherefes Leish. Somehow she's dedicated to another man, but it's clear, however, it's not full adultery. If it's full adultery, that is a capital crime with a capital punishment. Here we are we're describing a woman who is quasi-married. Why is she quasi-married? So the Gemara elsewhere has a debate exactly what the nature of the relationship is between the woman that he had relations with and her quote-unquote her husband, her quasi-husband. So the Gemara says, but let's say you try to invoke the language of Charufa in order to create Kiddushin. Is that going to work? So, Ibailu Charufa Simau Tashma Detanya HaOmer Charufa Sima Kudeshes Shekem BeYehuda Karin LaRusa Charufa. So the Gemara says, well, if you go to the province of Yehuda, so you're going to hear that terminology Charufa. It's very popular in the region of Yehuda. So the Gemara says, I'm very happy that it's popular in the region of Yehuda. Yehuda, Havyeruba Da'ama. Okay, so that's how they talk in Yehuda. That doesn't represent how most people talk. Most people don't talk that way. So why would it be okay in general? So the Gemara says, Okay. Let's start off with the following. It's a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah, when describing a quasi-relationship, uses the word charufa. So you see, it's a language that's recognized by the Torah. And then, va'od, bihuda karin larusa charufa. So, and also, just tack on, a second argument, obviously not going to be as strong, in Yehuda, that's how they talk. So the Gemara says, v'Yehuda va'od l'kra. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. If it's a pasuk in the Torah, so then what difference does it make whether in Yehuda they use the language or they didn't use the language? Meaning, as long as the Torah recognizes it as some sort of language that uses, that describes marriage, that's all you need. So what else are we adding over here by saying that in Yehuda they talk like this? So the Gemara says, well, if you are living in Yehuda and you say charufa, it's going to work because that's how they talk in Yehuda. What just happened over here in the Gemara? Meaning the Gemara, right? The Gemara seems to first go in the argument of, well, the Torah recognizes, and therefore it's okay. And then the Gemara says, well, I know the Torah says it, but in Yehuda and only in Yehuda it's going to work. Like, what just happened in the Gemara over here, where the Gemara seems to have been totally flipping on its argument? So if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi explains. She came by Yehuda. Ava mikra leka lamelev. So Rashi says the pasuk itself is not going to be a good indication of what it means. Dahu yichud ba'amahu. Sharei b'shevcha kanani zakasa medaber she'in kiddushin tofsim ba. So Rashi says that ultimately where the Gemara landed on this topic of charufa is that charufa really doesn't describe marriage. Doesn't. Because what we're describing over here is a shivcha kananis who is dedicated to a man. But I'm using the word dedicated very carefully. Meaning not married, because a shivcha kananis cannot be married to a man. But rather dedicated, meaning the Torah allows a man to take his eved ivri and match him. I don't know how else to describe it. And match him to a shivcha kananis, and they'll have children. And when the eved ivri goes out, what happens? He doesn't take her with her, with him, because they're not married. So when the Torah uses the word charufa, it's not really describing marriage.
It's like a sign.
Yeah, an aside. Right. Correct. That's why the Gemara ended off on the point where, look, charufa of the Torah, that's not describing marriage. But if you live in a town where that's how they talk, and charufa is talked in terms of marriage like Yehuda, so then it would be fine. But only if you live in that town, otherwise it's not going to work. Now, that's where the Gemara ended. Where did the Gemara start its discussion? Because the Gemara started off by saying, oh, in charufa? Oh, that's a reference to marriage. What? Where did it start? So, umikara, that's Rashi's next point. Umikara, avasakadaika, kamandamer, begin, bechetze shifcha, bechetze bat charin, hakaz medaber, disheicha, bahut, sad kiddushin. But if you remember back to Gittin, you'll remember that not everyone agrees that Necherefes that's described in Parshas Kedoshim is talking about Shevcha Kananis. Some are of the opinion that it's talking about a woman who is a Chatzi Baschorin Chatzi Shevcha Kananis, who is married to a man. At least there is a partial marriage there. And if there's a partial marriage there, so that means that the word Charufa is describing something that not doesn't only just resemble a marriage, but has an element of marriage to it. That's where the Gemara started the discussion. And where the flip is, says Rashi, is that the Gemara concluded that no, the word Necherefes is going like the opinion, it's just talking about Shivcha Kananis, who's assigned to an Eved Ivri, and that's why the Gemara ended up bailing on the whole idea that the Torah describes this as being a marriage. Okay. Bimayaskina. We are in the middle of Avam and Aleph, we're halfway down in the Amun, and the Gemara says, what exactly are we talking about? Meaning, we have now spent the first part of today's daf describing various languages that were employed. Some of them are good, some of them are not good. The Gemara says a little more context in order to discuss this. So the Gemara says, if they're having no discussion about Gittin and Kedushin, so how in the world is she supposed to know what exactly is going on? So So the Gemara says, so they're obviously sitting down and having a discussion about either getting married or getting divorced, depending on whichever one we're talking about. kiddushin or git. Afagav delo amar la nami. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, if they're in the middle of the discussion of getting married, and he gives her the money, well, isn't that going to be clear as well? Did none. Let's say they're having a discussion about either get or kiddusha. Again, either they're not married and they want to get married, or they're married and they no longer want to be married. Either way. And they're discussing, let's do the plus, let's do the positive. Let's say they're not married. And they're discussing marriage. And he says, you know, I think it's a good idea if we get married. She's like, oh, me too. Great. Good. And then there's a let's insert a pause, a silence, and then he hands her money. The Mishnah says, I'm sorry, yeah, it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that at the time when he handed her the money, he didn't say anything. So Rav Yossi Amar Dayo, Rav Yossi says that is sufficient. And Rav Yehuda Amar Tzarech Lafarish. And Rav Yehuda says that at the time of the giving the money, he has to clarify once again at the time when he gives the money. Now, the Amar Rav Huna Amar Shmuel Lachik Rav Yossi. Now, on this machlokus between the Tanaim, so the halacha falls like Rav Yossi. Generally speaking, machlokus between Rav Yossi and a colleague, so the halacha is going to go like Rav Yossi. Here, that's the rule. The halacha falls like Rav Yossi. So, the Gemara says, I'm not following this entire discussion. According to Rav Yossi, if you're talking about marriage, let's get married. Great, great idea. Okay, then somewhat of a pause of silence. Okay, they reflect, each one of them, and then he hands the money. According to Rav Yossi, he doesn't have to say anything, and the marriage is going to be a valid marriage. So the Gemara says, so what are we talking about where this language, that language, this language, that language, what difference does it make? You say nothing and it's going to work. If you say nothing, it's going to work. So why are all these languages... You mean to tell me that if you say something that's unclear, it's going to make it worse? And the Gemara is basically going to say, yeah, that's right. So Amri la olam b'medabri maliske gitavikadoshah. V'idiyar v'lavashase kachinami. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's pretty much correct. If you're talking, let's get married. And then there's a pause. And then he hands her money. And he doesn't say anything. Yeah, that's going to work. Like Rav Yossi says. Over here, however, they said, let's get married. Pause, silence. Then he hands her money. But when he hands her money, he says one of these languages, which was awkward. And it was ambiguous. And now what? And maybe as he's handing her money and he says something which is awkward, so maybe now that awkward sentence can now be misconstrued as, hey, you know, well, yeah, you make a great secretary. I'd love it if you were employed from me, you were employed by me. Meaning, that's exactly the point. The awkward sentence could turn around the entire context of the situation, where now it's no longer we're getting married. It's, well, what just happened? What did he ask me to do? Okay, so the Gemara says that's exactly the point. Saying nothing is going to be better than making the somewhat challenging statements that we were discussing now for the past half of an amud. So we quoted once again this Mishnah, speaking out the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi, as to they're talking about it, and then there's a pause, and then he hands her either the Kedushin or the Gittin, depending on which direction they're going. And that's going to work according to Rav Yossi. And as we just pointed out, and the halacha is like Rav Yossi. I'm Rav Yehuda Mishmul, v'hush asukin v'oso inyan. Now, on this, the Gemara makes an important proviso, and that is that the topic cannot have been changed. Rashi, hadaka amar Rav Yossi dayo, when Rav Yossi says that at the time when he gives it to her, he doesn't have to say anything. V'hush ayu asukin b'dibur iske kiddushin ad shas nesina. There was no other conversational topic that was discussed between marriage and when he handed her the kesef kiddushin, or divorce and he handed her the get. So, the way the Gemara now is just illustrating this halacha. So let's say they're talking about marriage, and then they turn to talk about the weather, the all important topic of what's the weather going to be today. And then after that, he hands her the money, and they don't say anything. So now what you've done is you've created a break between the topic of marriage and the Kesef Kedushin that he handed to her. Even there, Rav Yossi said, now it's no good. Because once you've broken up the topic of marriage with the all-important topic of what's the weather going to be today, so now you've created a break between the Dibor and the Nesina, and that's simply not going to work.
Is it Pesach for that?
Huh? It's just... I mean, the simplest way to say it is that it's not a clear communication of why he's giving the money. And the Gemara quotes in the name of other Amoraim that's correct. In other words, even according to Rav Yossi, it has to be that we're going from the topic of marriage to him handing her the money. Kit Tanai. The Gemara points out that this is subject to a machlokas tonight. Rabbi Omer Bahusha Asukim Bahoso Inyan, Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Ashi Amar Afa Pishain Asukim Bahoso Inyan. Rabbi's of the opinion that they have to be on topic. The giving of the money has to be coming off the topic of marriage. And according to Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, doesn't have to come off the topic of marriage. So the Gemara says, Vi Ilav Asukim Bahoso Inyan, Minayada. So, the Gemara asks such a simple and great question. According to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, are we now engaged in telepathy? is she a mind reader? Right? They're talking now about the weather. They're talking about their local basketball team, and he hands her money. And you mean to tell me now that according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, they are now married? Like, what is going on? So mina yada my kamarla. So Amr Abaye me'inyan le'inyan, but also inyan. So Abaye kind of modifies Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, right? They didn't move on to discuss neither the weather, neither the local sports team. But rather, according to Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, they went on to discuss other issues that revolve around marriage.
Somebody else's marriage.
Maybe they're talking about where we're going to send our kids to school. Right. And other very important topics about marriage, but not the actual marriage itself. But they're still within the ballpark. The Gemara says that's what Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon meant. But you're right. If we're moving to a totally different topic unrelated to marriage whatsoever, so then even Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon will tell you that of course that's not going to work. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Shmuel, Halacha ki Rav Yossi. Once again, the Gemara says that the Halacha is like Rav Yossi, Amar Le Rav Yemel, Rav Ashi, Ve'lahad Amar Rav Huna, Amar Shmuel, Kol She'eni Yodeh, B'tiv Gittin V'Kiddushin, Lo Yeh Esek Emahem. The Gemara quotes the language that we have stated earlier back in Gittin. The Gemara says it over here. Anyone who is not familiar with Gittin and Kiddushin shouldn't have any involvement in it whatsoever. The ramifications, the stakes of not officiating over a good get is obviously very high. Because if you don't officiate a good get, what's going to happen is she's going to remarry. It's not a new marriage. The get wasn't good. And the children are going to be a mamzerim. So stakes are really high when it comes to Gittin. Now, by Kiddushin, this is a more controversial topic in terms of whether or not the Masad to Kiddushin has to be super knowledgeable or not. From our Gemara, it sounds like he's got to be super knowledgeable. Because our Gemara says, all right, kol she'eino yodea b'tiv gittin v'kiddushin. Okay, but suffice right now to say that it's subject to a controversy whether the Masada Kedushin has to be as proficient as the Masader Gittin. Either way, the Gemara says, Afilo Shmuel Hadra of Huna Mashmuel, Amale and Achinami. So he says, let's say you don't know the statement of Rav Huna Mashmuel, that the halakha courts like Rav Yossi, that on the issue of where they're discussing marriage or they're discussing divorce, and he hands it to her and he doesn't say anything. Is it going to be valid or is it not going to be valid? It's a machlokus between Rav Yossi against Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says the halacha falls like Rav Yossi. Okay, that entire sentence that I just said. If the Masada Kedushin or the Masada Gittin doesn't know that, is that considered unqualified? And the answer is, yeah, that's correct. That's a good example of somebody who's not qualified because he doesn't know that particular halacha.
So, don't they need witnesses? So the witnesses, can't you ask the witnesses, did you understand what you did?
Right. Most importantly, the witnesses are there for Kiyum Hadava. They're there to ratify that this, in fact, happened. But ultimately, what's the most important thing is that she understands what's happening. And if she does not understand what's happening in terms of why the money is being handed to her, so then ultimately, it's not going to be good. V'chein begerishin nasa lagita v'amala hare mishlechas hare megureshes hare materos l'chol adam hare hi megureshes. We're quoting the Brisa that we saw on the bottom of Hamad Beis. The Brisa says that if he hands her the get and he says, you are sent away from me, so that is a valid form of gerishin. Pshita. Nasa lagita v'amar la l'ishto hare at bat chorin. Now, the Gemara says, this should sound familiar because we saw this exact Gemara at the end of Masechta Gittin. He answers again, he says, you're free. So that's not going to work. freedom over here is not, free is not freedom. Lo amar velo klum. He said nothing. This is not gerushin. Gerushin is not emancipation, it's not freedom. I mean, we could use that language to describe it, but it's not. Because emancipation and freedom is speaking to the person who is owned, a slave. She's not a slave. She's not owned. She's married. She's a woman. She is, right? We've said this time and again. There's no ownership when it comes to marriage. So therefore, if he divorces her using the language of cheirus, it's simply nothing. Conversely, if he has a shivcha kananis, and he says, you are now free to marry whoever you want, so that's also not going to work, because he's employing a language that's used for his wife, not for Shivcha Kananis. What if he turns to his wife and he says, you're an independent now. Me, Aminan, Lamalacha Kamala, Odim Lagami Kamala. So, what is he saying? Is he saying, he could be saying one of two things. He could be saying you're an independent, meaning, generally speaking, your earnings used to go to me. You know what? Yeah, you keep your earnings. Hare at latzmech. You're free to keep your earnings, but we're still married. Or no, hare at latzmech is meant to be understood as you are now free, meaning you're a divorced woman. Obviously, I mean, again, and it's an obvious point, but obviously, this only the discussion over here is only going to work if he's handing her a get as well. I mean, the statement is wonderful, but without a get, it's nothing. He's handing her the get, but he is now making a statement that could be understood in one of two ways. Am le ravina le ravashi tashma. De tanya gufa shaget shechur hare at baskharin hare ata la atzmech. The get shechur is you are free. Or you are now independent. Hashta uma evikanani dekani le legufe kiamrele hare atalat smech legami kamrele. Now, when it comes to shechah kananis, or in this case, even an evikanani, where you have full bilus over him, and you say hare atalat smech, you're now independent. So that totally frees him. Isha delokani le legufa. Now, when it comes to the woman, his wife, where there's no king in haguf, he doesn't own her. Lo kol shekain. How much more so when you say hare at latzmech, does that create a full disconnection between him and his wife? That is the argument that the Gemara provides. We point this out in Gittin. The argument over here is difficult to understand. Meaning, maybe that's exactly the point. Maybe that when it comes to the Epikanani, that language that's employed is going to be exactly the appropriate language that's used for an Epikanani. But over here for his wife, maybe not. Maybe exactly because for the reason that he doesn't own her, and the language therefore is just simply not appropriate language, maybe she doesn't go free. It's difficult to understand this argument of the Gemara. Amale Ravina Ravashi. Amale Avdo Ainli Asik Bach Mai. What if a man says to his Evid, Ainli Asik Bach? I want nothing to do with you. So me Amin an Ainli Asik Bach Lagamri Kamale? So is it mean that, once again, that is a statement of emancipation? Or just simply meaning, I'm still owning you, you're still my property, but you know what? What's it called? Give yourself a little bit of a vacation. Right, I don't want you working for me anymore. So Amalei Rav Nachman the Rav Ashi, VaAmri La Rav Chanin Mechuzal the Rav Ashi Tashma Hamocher Avilav VeKochavim Yatzel Cheres. We go back to our Mishnah in Gittin. The Mishnah in Gittin describes somebody selling an Evik Kanani to an Ovei Kochavim. So now Yatzel Cheres, he has to go free, meaning the Chachamim were so unhappy with what you did. You took your Evik Kanani, who, while he was under your ownership, was Shomer Shabbos, lived in Eretz Yisrael, right, had a quasi status of being Jewish, was Mitzuvah B'Mitzvos. In other words, you gave him tremendous opportunity, and now you sold him to a non-Jew. The Chachamim were so unhappy with what you did, the Chachamim gave you a knas, and that is, you must free him. V'tzarech get shichur me'rab harishon. Now, a get shichur has to be written by the first owner, by the original owner. Amar Shimon Gamliel b'med v'armam shalok kasav alav ono. Ava kasav alav ono, zeu shichuro. Now, that's only necessary if there was no ono, Aleph Vav Nun Vav, if there was no owner written by already by the original owner. But if there was, so then no get shichur is required. Now, Hechidami Ono, the Gemara says, what exactly are we talking about? Amar Sheshet, the Kasav La, Kishetivrach Mimenu, Ainli Esek Bach. When you run away from him, I will have no claims over you whatsoever. So you see that the words Ainli Esek Bach is him disavowing himself from his Evid Kanani, which is basically exactly what the question was. The question was, when he says Ein Li'Esek Bach, and he's giving him a letter of Get Shechur, so is that enough? Is that enough of a communication? And essentially the Gemara's answer is, yes it is. Amar Abaye. Okay, good. Amar Abaye, Mekash B'Milva Einu Mekadeshes. Okay. Big topic in the second half of today's daf, and that is being mekadesh a woman with a loan. Now, how are you normally mekadesh bekesef? You hand her coinage or something equivalent in value, but you give her something with real value to it. Okay. That is how kesef kedushin works. What the Gemara now is discussing is you don't give her something of actual value, but you give her something with value. So, the example over here that the Gemara says is that you're mekadesh her with a milva. So the Abaye says ina mekudeshes. That is not going to be good. Behanas milva mekudeshes. But if it's with the benefit of a milva, so then the kedushin would in fact be a good kedushin. Vasalasos kain mipnei haramas ribis. However, it gives off the odor and the scent of ribis. And so therefore one is not allowed to do that. But it would work. Okay. Now, a couple things over here. I mean, obviously we have more Gemara to do over here. But if you take a look at Rashi and Mekash B'milva, what exactly is the scenario, says Rashi? The Amr is Kachali B'milva Shiv L'Sich. In other words, what happened over here is a man lent money to a woman. And he says, look, I know you owe me the money. I'll tell you what. Let's forgive the loan and let's call it a marriage. In other words, the money I already gave you, so I'm looking to, I know you owe me the money, I'll forgive the loan, and with that forgiveness, you and I will get married. So it's not going to be good. Einu mekudeshes. Let's take a look at the next Rashi. Why not? Dikicha misdei Ephron Gamrinan. Diyahiv midi bishas kedushin. Because in order to affect kedushin through kesef. So once again, we turn back to Daf Dalet of our Masechta, where the Gemara discussed there at length exactly how we know kesef kedushin works. And the Gemara says that we actually have two sources. One source is Yatzachinam Ein Kasef, and the second source is Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron. Rashi over here focuses on the second source, like I mentioned already. It seems to be the more popular source. Okay, I know the learning of the Gemara is not like a popularity contest, but seems to be the more popular source. And Rashi over here notes, when you purchase land, so what is the transaction? It's land for money, for actual money. So there has to be money right there at the time when you purchase the land. Same thing over here when it comes to Kinyan Ha'isha with Kesef Kedushin. There has to be money there. Rashi goes on to write, Dikicha Mistei Ephron Gamrinan, Diyahiv Midi Bishas Kedushin, Umilva Lo Tzah Nitna. And when you lend money, what is the assumption throughout all of Shas? Is that when the moment I lend you the money, the expectation is, I'm lending you the money because you need to spend the money right here, right now. You'll pay me back, but obviously with money that you earn in the future. I don't expect you to pay me back with the money I lent you. What am I going to do? I'm going to lend you money so that you hold the money. You're going to pay me back with that money that I lent you? Obviously not. The money was there. It was meant to be given to you so that you spend the money. Milva lo hotzah nitna. Ukvar hein shala. And so therefore, the money, the moment he gives it to her, is her money. I'll pay you back with other monies, but not this money. So now, the problem with being Mekadosh a woman by forgiving a loan is that at the time of Kiddushin, there simply is no money. The money that was once given is gone. The money that she owes him is going to have to be manufactured by her at a later point in time. So at the time of Kiddushin, there simply is no money.
But doesn't he give her the note?
No, there's nothing else that he gives her. I see what you're saying. In other words, right, he's giving her the IOU. Possibly, but let's keep it simple. Let's assume right now that there was nothing else passed. It was just simply a forgiveness of a loan, right? It's a fair point. What if he actually hands her the note? Okay.
What if he offers to buy something just from her? Give her money. You got a bookish house, give me that book. Which is not going to give him money, right? And then he says, by the way, let's consider that money for the use.
Okay, but if he's handing her at the time, fine. But in other words, the case over here is very simple. The money that I gave you in the past, let's use that money as a means of kiddushin. So Rashi over here explains the problem. The problem is that money's gone. That money, when he gave it to her, the expectation is that she's going to spend it. So that money's no longer there. She's obligated to pay back the loan, but that's of course with new money that she's going to manufacture. No, you can marry somebody with either kesef or shava kesef. It doesn't have to be money. The illustration over here by money is because, generally speaking, lending is with money. That's all. Now, okay, so that is the first statement of Abaye, that if a man's mekadesh a woman b'milva, the kedushin is simply not going to be a good kedushin for the reason that we just articulated. Now let's move on to the second statement of Abaye, which is hanas milva. If a man's mekadesh a woman with hanas milva, so then the kedushin would be a good kedushin. However, the problem is it smells like ribbis, right? The fifth parak of Bamitzia, so we're going to be discussing at length over there the halachas regarding lending with interest. But in the meantime, however, over here, extending a loan, so you can't do that because it's max of ribbis. Now, first things first, let's take a look at Rashi. Let's not take a look at Rashi. I apologize. Let's go back to the Gemara. Let's see the Gemara for an illustration of what exactly we're talking about. So, hi hanas milva echidami. What exactly is going on over here? Ilema de askafa de amala arba bechamisha. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the following. He gave her four coins, and he says, hey, you know what? You're going to pay me back now five coins. Okay, good. So the Gemara says, good. What are you talking about? Good. Harib is malyasahi. So that can't be. That can't be what Abai is talking about. If I say I'm going to get, when I give you the four coins, I say at that point in time, hey, do you know what? You're going to pay me back five coins. That's called interest. That's rib is malyasa. That can't be what Abai is talking about. Va'od hainu milva. And on top of that, that goes back to Abai's first point. That's a loan. That's trying to be mekadesh a woman with a loan. So the Gemara says, "Lotzricha d'arvich le'zimna." So the Gemara says, "Okay, you're right. What Abai must be illustrating over here is the following scenario, where basically what he was able to do for her is provide an extension on her loan." Let's take a look at Rashi. Lotzricha d'arvich le'zman havaso. The Amar lies kashi ba'nazu shata itno senes pruta la'adam shifaisenu alkach oli. So the afilu la agar natar lo dami klal the impirish like kach mikudeshes. Okay, what happens is the following: she is in debt. She owes the money, and not only is she in debt, but the money is now currently due. And he goes over to the lender. Now the lender could be somebody else, could be he himself. But let's keep it simple. Let's say the lender is somebody else, and he goes over to the lender and he says to the lender, "Hey, look. I know she owes you the money. Let's do the following. Let's extend the loan. I'll give you a little bit of money right now, and you'll give her another month, another 2 months. Let's extend the loan." Now, first of all, this is not ribbis, as Rashi is about to point out, because ribbis is only that at the origination of the loan, you at that point in time declare that for those four coins that I'm giving you, you're going to pay me back five. That's a case of ribbis. Over here, it's not at the point of the origination of the loan. It's just for a loan extension. For a loan extension, even though you're paying money, and even though it certainly looks like ribbis, but that's not ribbis min haTorah. That's exactly the point. And furthermore, it would affect a marriage because he's actually providing money right here, right now, in order to extend the loan.
He's not handing it to her.
V'arama ribbisi. And the Gemara says, Dehavya. Now this Rashi says is Haramas Ribis, Velo Ribis Gamar, Delo Katzla Midi, Velo Midi Shakal Mina. The Koshikini Machala Kola Melva. I'm sorry, before I get to the Koshikin of Rashi. Okay, so he's not handing anything to her, but she is directly benefiting from the money that he's giving. So, as long as she is directly benefiting from the money that he's currently giving, that is enough right now to create a kiddushin, even though he's not handing her the money, but she is directly realizing. There's a real benefit in terms of the money that he's handing over that she's receiving at this point in time. Okay. Rashi goes on to say, the koshikin imachala kol amelva, v'amalai iskashuli banas mechila zu. Now, Rashi says the following. Let's say he owes her money. And he says to her, I'm going to be mekadeshi with you over the benefit, the current benefit of me forgiving the loan. Rashi says that also would work. And the hashta hu de kayayv la hach pruta de hanas melva. Ava kol mekadesh la bi'ikar hamaos la midiay la shekvar heim berishusa vehem shalom. The problem, says Rashi, and what Abai was addressing was where he was attempting to be mekadesh her with the money that he already gave her. That, says Rashi, is what Abai is rejecting. That's not going to be good because that money is no longer there. And therefore he cannot be mekadesh her. So really what comes out from Rashi over here is the following. A couple of interesting points from Rashi. Number one is that if he gives money in order to extend the loan, so the kiddushin is going to work. Now you can't do that, but that's not because of the marriage issue. That's simply because it now starts to look like ribbis, where you're spending money in order to extend a loan. So basically, that's add on to the original loan that you can't do, but not because it's actual ribbis, but it looks like ribbis. So from that standpoint, it's also midrabanan. But from the standpoint of the actual marriage itself, that's going to work. And she didn't receive the money, but that's fine. She benefited from that money, and that's all you need. That's one interesting point from Rashi. Second interesting point is that Rashi says at the end that if he forgives the loan and he says, I'm going to marry you, not based on the money that I gave you, but on the benefit of forgiveness, that's also a hana, that's also a benefit. Meaning we're going to spend the next couple of days going over various scenarios where if there isn't, as long as there is a tangible benefit that she receives, that's going to be enough. That's considered enough in terms of Kesef Kiddushin. Okay, let's...
The reason why Rashi says that it's more of a whole loan, it's supposed
to could be. I mean, as long as the Hanaz are Shava Pruta, so that seemingly would be enough. Okay, let's quickly recap. We went over today the idea that the Kesef Kiddushin has to go from him to her. The Amira has to go from him to her. If the Amira goes from her to him, so the Gemara had two versions, either it's no good altogether, or it's a suffix. Then the Gemara went on to discuss today what if there's an ambiguity, he does not say the word li, so the Gemara says that's not going to be good. Shmuel's position of yadaim she'ino mochichos. The Gemara then went over various lashonos that are either employed by the Torah or used provincially, and the Gemara has discussions of whether or not they work. If you use Torah language, it works. If you use provincial language, it works. If you use something which is ambiguous, it's not going to work. What if you're discussing marriage and then at the time when you hand her something, you say nothing? Machlokes between Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda, we follow like Rav Yossi, that's going to work. As long as you're asukin ba'ostawa inyan, which means that the last thing that was discussed was going to be the marriage. And then you handed her something. If you interrupted with another important discussion like the weather, so the Gemara says that's not going to work. What if it is asukin me inyan linyan ba'ostawa inyan? What if you move from our marriage to discuss, I don't know, you know, things that have to do with marriage, but not the actual marriage itself. So that's a machlokas in the Gemara. The Gemara says if you don't know halachas of kiddushin and gittin, you cannot officiate. And then Gemara talks to the last topic that we discussed was being mekadesh b'milva. Abai says it's not going to work because milva lahotzah nitna. But if you are a mekadesher with either a loan extension, which you shouldn't do, but if you're mekadesher with a loan extension, or according to Rashi, you forgive the loan and you're mekadesher over the benefit of the forgiveness, so those would work.